chapter 4, starting at verse 11, we'll read to verse 15 in the New International Version. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of the Scriptures, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. And God add his blessings and word.
Hello there. I like when people are awake. It's a whole lot easier. It's always weird coming up and preaching, because I ain't a preacher. But God does work in my life in spite of me, and even works through me in spite of me, and that's pretty exciting. But you know, that's what this is all about tonight. I actually want to bring to you some stuff that the Lord has been working on my little pea brain. I've got two brain cells, one on this side and one on this side, and every once in a while they go and something happens, and I get a thought. It's usually accompanied by pain, but look at the general age of the people here. We all know what pain is. D. Sorry. I love the idea. We're talking about the scripture was about Timothy, and he was saying, you know, don't let nobody look down on you just because you're young. And I made the mistake of looking at the congregation. With the exception of you six or five guys in the back, boy, you sure make us look good. Thanks for coming. But I wanted to let you know how it always blows me away how God puts things together. I didn't tell nobody what I was speaking on, and yet I looked at the song list and you know, things that was in there was pretty amazing. So it just kind of fits right in, and even the prayer tonight, thank you. Just fits right in perfect. So I'm going to talk about two things. I have no idea how they work together. Well, I do know how they work together. I have no idea how I'm going to work them together. But it's gifting and fear. And see, Timothy was a young feller, probably about y'all's age. And he showed up one time to a feller named Paul. We all know who Paul was. And Paul kind of took him under his wing because he must have noticed something that this kid was good at. And so he kind of mentored him. So Paul mentored Tim. And at some point, either Paul or, I don't know if Paul was involved in it, but a bunch of big cheeses from the local church laid hands on him. Now that's something us Baptists don't do, because that's what the Pentecostals do, but that's all right. I joined a Pentecostal church, so I'm a, well, actually, if I was a Catholic and a Baptist, I'd be a cactus. I don't know what a Pentabapt, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Who really cares? But they laid hands on him and asked God to impart. I don't believe God gave him anything new. I believe God fanned up what he had already given him. Because all through Scripture, we'll read a bunch of them, it talks about gifts that are given to everybody freely. By who? The Maker. So, like Timothy, Each one of us has been given gifts by God. 1 Corinthians 12, if you've got your Bibles with you. I got a bunch of scriptures I'm going to go through, and we'll try to get out by this time tomorrow night. And you've heard these before. He says, Paul's talking here. He says, what I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. So anyway, he starts talking about all of this kind of stuff. He talks about, going back down to verse 4, it says, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. That's you, and that's me. But they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. That's quite a definition of your gift. It isn't so that people can look at you and say, man, are you good looking? Or are you a snappy dresser? No. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. That's a cool picture. This has nothing to do with you or me. This has to do with God and showing God to the next guy. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. He says he's wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust. Trust. Did you ever think of that as a gift that you have that maybe someone else doesn't have? That's wild. Healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And there's another list a little bit further on in that same chapter, right near the end. You are Christ's body. He talked about the body. We've heard about that. How everybody ain't the same. I'm the eyeball, you're the armpit. Or whatever. You know, it just, we need each other. Because if we was all one big eyeball, how in the world would we get around unless we rolled? And then dirt would get in it. So he says, you are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body, that's the gift that he's talking about, does your part actually mean anything. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in his church, which is his body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, those who pray in tongues. So it's really cool to see what people have and what one guy has another guy doesn't. I remember Bryn. Don't ask him to sing. That was painful. I remember one time he and I were doing a gig in Olds at the hospital. And this was to a group of, I think it was the ladies volunteer association society or something. So there was all a bunch of old ladies in this room, and Bryn and I were the only males, and they gave us the mic. And in a fit of insanity, which was quite normal, Bryn said to me, hey, you know what? Why don't we be each other? How about you spout your songs, speak them like poems? And he says, and I'll sing all my poems. I said, okay, that's fine, because everybody always mixed us up anyway. They still call me Bryn, and they called him Ben, and neither of us thought that was really that good. But the fun thing was, it lasted for maybe a half a poem and a half a song, and we went back to being us, because why in the world would you try to be someone else? It don't work. He and I do share, of course, ties. I wore a tie today. Jim, I wore a tie today. This was the second tie that I own, and it was given to me by Bryn, and I like it because I never wear a tie, ever. But I got a new suit jacket that I got online, and so I thought I would just kind of show you folks how I can get classy once in a while. But I like this tie because it's got a picture on it, and when I eat my burrito and it's dripping, you just don't know it because it's all part of the artwork. Anyway, the idea of gifts, they're specific to each one of us. And don't try to be someone else. I remember my wife and I we like kayaking. We got these little kayaks and we go down, there's a bunch of creeks in our area, and there's one, it's called the Horse Guard, and it sounds, you go down this, and it looks like you're out in the bush. Looks like you're right out west. You're in the middle of farm country. We're up by Leslieville, and that's kind of where the farm country meets the forestry. And so we're going down through these places. Half the time you have to get out and go over the beaver dams, or you just push yourself over, and it's a lot of fun. And I remember we're coming around a corner, and we're going through a pasture, and I hear this thunder, and it wasn't lightning. And I realized the cows were just fogging it. They're all going. They didn't see us, but they heard us. Splash, 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 hee, 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 splash, splash. And they didn't have a clue what that was. So the whole herd was on the run. But one cow, I remember, and the banks were probably 10 feet high. So it was just kind of cut through the pasture. And this one old cow, she looked Angus. She come running up to the edge, head up and tail up. And she's looking to see what was going on and goes, oh, okay. And then she went to grazing. But the whole herd thought it should be doing something. Not a single one of them knew why they was running, other than Bossy in front of us is going, so let's panic. Ah! We'll talk about fleeing later. And I want you to remember them cows when we talk about it. Oh, yes. Gifts are for the betterment of the other guy. They're not for us. And by the way, I've been praying all the way down that God would do the speaking. I'm going to flap my gums, but I've asked God to fill my mouth with his words so that you hear him and not me. Man, life, you don't need my wisdom. I'll screw you up even worse than you already are. But the interesting thing is when you work something for someone else, you got to soak it in love. You can sit there and see somebody just really messing up. And if you go and tell him the truth that, you know, he's going to die, but you don't do it in love. Remember what Paul talks about in the next chapter, Corinthians 13? You're nothing but a crashing cymbal. You've heard those, haven't you? I wish we had a set of drums here so we could just go over and just bash on it and see how gross that sounds. You know, that's the effectiveness of giving the truth without love. And I find it very interesting because chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is all about the gifts. Chapter 14 is all about the gifts. And 13, now look at the last verse in chapter 12. It says, so we're talking about all these gifts, and he says, but now I want to lay out a far better way. And he talks about love. And we're all familiar with the love chapter. And at the end of that, the very first verse of chapter 14, he says, pursue a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Give yourself to the gifts God gives you. So he's getting back into the gifts. Because there's people who say, ah, we don't need the gifts. That was from way back when. We just need love, brother. And it's just like, it's out of balance. And he's saying, you got to sandwich this good stuff with love. Because it's our responsibility. Because my pastor said this just Sunday. He says, you're known by your fruits, not your roots. It's not good enough to go on mom and dad's faith. It's not good enough to go on somebody else's faith. It's got to be yours. And it's not good enough to try and be someone else. I don't know if you remember, I think I'd done this one. One of my favorite verses, I don't know where it is, Galatians somewhere. I thought I was going to be organized here, and I'm really impressed myself, but you know what, forget it. But it's in here. Oh yeah, I got it wrote down, that's why. Galatians 6, verses 4 to 5, and this is in the Message. He says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you've been given. And then pour yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. And don't compare yourself to others. Two fences. Because each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Make a careful exploration of who you are. That includes your gifts. You've got to understand them. Do you know what your gift is? How many of you know what your gift is? How many do not know what your gift is? Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't. We're going to talk about that. Because gifts can be used wrongly as well. When they're used for yourself, they stink. I know someone who's really gifted, very close to me, very gifted with tenacity. And when she uses that, she is absolutely unstoppable. It's my oldest daughter. And she went to work for Padernes and then for Ledcor after that with the dirtiest, stinkiest, most pervertedest guys on the Earth crew. And she kept her faith, and she never once, there's no compromise and no condemnation. And soon, she never went in there saying, I'm a good girl, so don't swear in front of me. No, she just let them be themselves, and she took God with her. And pretty soon, all these crusty guys would start coming up to her and start asking her God questions. And questions she had no answer for. But God, the Holy Spirit, downloaded every single time that she had questions. She had one guy ask her, and the whole lunch crew was listening. He asked her, Stephanie, if God is a God of love, why does bad stuff happen to children? How in the world would you answer that? It wasn't my gift. It wasn't my position, but it was hers. And she remembers thinking the same thing. You know what God said? Holy Spirit put it right in her mind, and it came out of her mouth. She said, well, let's take God out of the picture for a minute. Let's just pretend he doesn't exist. If God didn't exist, would bad stuff still happen to children? That's deep. And guy said, whoa. You know, Steph knows her gifts. It's that tenacity that she has, but when she uses it for herself, it's stubbornness. And it stinks because it's used for the wrong thing. So once you get an idea of what your gift is, use it for the right thing, soak it in love, and use it for others. But at some point, Tim got fearful. Timothy. And I don't know what the deal was, but he let his gifts kind of get cold. And I don't know what he was fearful of. Could be opposition. Could be intimidation. Probably a lot of intimidation, because Paul said specifically, don't let them look down on you. And then he says, don't let them look down on you just because you're young. So there's some kind of intimidation and fear going on. And so he was fearful. Because in 1 Timothy 4:15, what our brother read tonight, he says, stir up that gift. So it's already there. It's like you're coming out from a long ride and you're coming in to the cabin and there's still a few embers from morning breakfast and you blow on them. You fan them up and pretty soon, but it's already there. Pretty soon you get that fire going. No, and he said, don't neglect it. You got to know what it is. Make a careful exploration. And then like Paul said later, sink yourself into that. What does fear do? How are we doing for time? I'm fearful of the time. 48. So we got a few minutes. Good. Because I want to talk to you about fear. This is something I'm learning. This little church that we're going to, my wife is involved quite heavily, and I'm getting involved by osmosis in a prayer ministry. And it's kind of a thing where people don't need us to counsel them. It's not a counseling. It's basically us taking them to the Lord and just asking some questions, and God and that person are doing the talking. And God is dealing directly with that person's heart. I wish I had known about this when I was younger. I could have saved a whole lot of grief. But I didn't. But I know now. But I'm learning about fear. Fear, what is it? It's a flipping liar. It is a liar. It makes things appear bigger than they are. And fear is irrational. It makes you think something's there, and it ain't. Fear requires darkness to hide and do its work. And whose MO is that? Steal, kill, and destroy. God has not given us fear. In fact, 2 Timothy 1:7, you probably know that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what has He given us instead of fear? Power. Love, and I love this, a sound mind. Fear is insane when you think of it. It's insanity. But where does fear come from? You know, it comes from believing a lie when you really look at it truthfully. And who's the father of lies? It's easy to see where this is coming from. Okay? But when it is exposed to the light, the reality is seen and the fear flees. What does James say in 4:7? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. What'll he do? Stick around and chew on your ankle? No, he flees. The cows, remember the cows? I can see it, you know. You shouldn't do that at this age. But that's what it is. Yes, I'm a geezer in training. Yes, I'm watching how you do it. And may I age as gracefully as you, Dee. You do not look a day over 140. It's just... Satan flees. Did you realize? Did you know that you'll get over it, Dee. You can breathe now. Did you know that Satan, honestly, if you're a Christian, is only as powerful as we let him be? That almost sounds like heresy, because we're taught to be scared spitless of him. But whose authority do we take when we oppose him? Whose authority? Someone say it. Thank you. You're awake. Woohoo! God's authority. Because of Jesus and his blood, yes, and resurrection, absolutely. If he just died and stayed there, we'd be hooped, but he rose again. Easter's coming. Friday's here, but Sunday's a-coming. Because of Jesus' blood, and we often think that his blood, his work on the cross was so that I can get a ticket to heaven, and that's it. There's so much more. His blood gave us forgiveness of sins, but his blood also gave us authority over the enemy. He's real, folks. I have some very close friends who believe that just because you're a Christian, Satan can't affect you at all. I don't know what he does with half the scripture, with the Ephesians 6, the armor. If we're supposed to put on armor, we don't do that to go to the grocery store. We do that to fight, and we're fighting the enemy. So anyway, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil; he will flee from you, just like a bunch of scared cows. I've learned some very effective strategies, and I want to share that really quickly with you for resisting the enemy, because he is only as powerful, honestly, as I let him be. I was afraid. I just was dealing with fear on Sunday. I'm 61, coming 62 in 2 months, and I don't look a day over 140, right? And I have bad heart in the family. That's just the way it is. And I've been getting kind of tired lately. I haven't had any heart attacks or strokes or any incident of any sort, but I'm feeling tired. And I'm thinking, I get out of breath every once in a while. So I thought, you know, I really should be proactive and go to my doctor and say, hey, can you give me a stress test? And if there's anything wrong, can you fix it? Throw me a stent. But for years, I've been afraid of that. I've been fearful that I'll lose my job. I mean, I'm my own boss, so I can't even fire me. But afraid that I'd get to where I couldn't work. Afraid that it might hurt me. I'm like a bull. I have about a zero pain tolerance. And I don't like the idea of getting stabbed for blood in the first place. I hate that. I just about pass out. I'm a wimp. But I was afraid of all these things. And I'm walking home from church, and me and God were talking about it. He kind of brought me up short. And he says, deal with it, wuss. And so I did. And I'm going to go see my doc on Thursday. And this is the first I've told anybody other than my wife and my mom. So that's part of facing my fear. But here's the thing. Why don't I ask you to close your eyes? And it's just you and God in this room right now. And ask God, what is it that I am fearing? And whatever it is that's coming to your mind right now, talk to the enemy. You can do that, you know that. You can tell him, I will not partner with you in this fear. I belong to God, and Jesus shed his blood for me, for this fear, and you're trespassing. I resist your fear, and instead, I speak God's peace. The power, love, and sound mind of Christ over my life and this situation in the name of Jesus. And then tell God. You can say, I thank you for your blood over my life and over this fear. Now I'll have you ask one other very cool thing of God. Remember that fear that he brought to your mind? Ask him, Jesus, what do you want to replace that fear with? Did anyone sense anything? Just curious. Yeah, cool. Anyone else? Peace. Peace. Awesome. And this is stuff you can take home and just, you can dig even deeper. My final hit here is, how serious are you about your life as a Jesus follower? Is it just a Tuesday night thing? And who really gives a flying rip the rest of the week? Or is it a day-to-day, minute-to-minute thing? What is your gift? Those of you who don't know what your gift is, you can do the same thing. Jesus, you can just pray that right now. What is my gift? And then ask him, what are you afraid of? Jesus, what am I afraid of that keeps me from thriving in that gift? So I want to bless you as a church. I want to bless you as people, as everyday. We're all the same people. And I want to bless you as you. You're not too old to learn this stuff. I want to really encourage you in all seriousness. I don't care if you are 140. God, if you are still here, God's still working in you and through you. So I want to bless you folks in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for this group of people. Fantastic people. And Lord, I ask you I call out all the gifting that you have put into these guys right from before the earth was even formed. Psalm 139. What a beautiful thing. You said you had every one of us designed, including the giftings and the talents and the drive, not only the gifting, but the tools to do it and the drive to do it. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to call out the giftings that are in this body. Lord, would you grab them and let them know what it is and get them excited about using them in whatever time we've all got left. I bless this place. I speak against fear in the name of Jesus. I bind fear from these people. And I replace that with your peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.